right, let's jump in today as we continue Faith's Foundations, Part 2. And today, as we move through what I described to you last week as a series of systematic theology, as we study doctrine in God's Word, today we're going to talk about the Trinity. And it's important that we understand the spiritual implications as well as the power that's revealed as we look closer at the Trinity. What does the Trinity mean? Last week, we looked first at God and Him being personal to our lives. Many people feel like that God is this thing that is far off from us, that is distanced from us. And I spent 45-plus minutes talking about how God is personal, how He is intentional to you individually and desires a relationship with you. And today we're going to study the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the important spiritual implications that it has for you and I. So some foundational scriptures here as we talk about faith's foundations. Ephesians chapter 2 and 19, it says this, "You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, also members of His household." Verse 20, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rising to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become." That's a really important stretch of scriptures right there. Being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So here we have an analogy that Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus in the New Testament, and it's an analogy that pulls the body of Christ, which is all of us, the believer. The King James Bible says the brethren. Some of you like the King James. The brethren, it's God's people. It's the body of Christ. And so we're building this analogy of the body of Christ as a building. And a building is built on something. If it's not built on, have you ever built something that wasn't built on a foundation? How quickly it gets ruined, how quickly it goes away without a proper foundation. And in that foundation, he makes it very, very clear, because it's important to today's study and today's teaching, is that he says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So in all of our spirituality and all of our Christian seeking God with all of our heart under a Christian context, which we should all have, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Now, that's a really important thing to understand, because if we miss the fact that Jesus came to bridge the gap between our humanity and God's infinite ability, we've missed the whole thing. The focus of our lives here on earth in 2016, here in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, the focus of our life, the focus of our spiritual journey should be Jesus. Now, you go say the name of Jesus in Walmart, all of a sudden, it's a polarizing topic. Can I tell you that it is a powerful topic? Jesus goes on to teach in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 through 49. Jesus teaching, he furthers this analogy by teaching this. And here's what he said. He says, "Why do you call me," speaking to the people, "why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For as everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house." There it is again. "Like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. And when the flood came and the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So Jesus furthers the analogy. He furthers the importance of building a foundation for your life. And he literally says that you can hear all of this information that I'm teaching to you, and then today it's applicable to today. As the pastor teaches it, or many of you listen to CDs or you read blogs on websites that edify you from a spiritual standpoint, teaching you God's word, yet we do very little with it. All of this information, all of this revelation, all of this truth coming at us, and then we just act like God doesn't exist. We act like God didn't do anything. We act like God's not around. We act like these words aren't truth. And Jesus said, it's like a man who's built his life with no foundation. If there's parts of your life, we're getting ready to go deep here. You ready? If there's parts of your life that continue to be upset by the shaking and shifting sands and the winds and the waves of this world, you know, there's certain areas of our life that we're stronger in than others. And then there's areas of our life where we're weak in. If we constantly see those weak areas being pushed and our emotions get thrown, can I submit to you today that possibly, maybe in the context of these two passages of Scripture, that maybe it's not built on a firm foundation. We see that all the teenagers close their ears. We see that with some of the innocent young love that we see with teenagers and even some young people where you know the relationship is this deep, passionate, I just think they're amazing. And then the next day it's like, nah, forget about it. We were just up all night sobbing and crying. What happened? Nah, forget about it. It meant nothing. And we do that in our lives as adults where we pursue, listen to me now, this is something God gave me this week. We pursue another area in our life. We build on another room of the house of our life and we pursue. God said, go for it. But we want it so quickly. We want it to happen now. We want to see the beauty of that vision that God's given us, but we take no time to actually place the slab and the foundation that I'm going to build that extension on. See, we go from being single to being married, but we spend no time building that foundation. I'm teaching good right now. And then we get married and we decide, well, we should have kids. We should do that quickly. I got a lot to say about that subject matter. Yeah, let's go. Let's have 1, 2, 3. Let's throw in a 4th. It'll be fun. No preparation. Somebody gives them all Nerf guns and ninja weapons. I wasn't prepared for any of that. The burn wounds, the It takes time to become a married man or a married woman. It takes time to become an effective parent. It takes time to become an effective spouse. It takes time to become an employee that's worth promoting. It takes time to build that foundation. Well, you say, God, I'm in it. I'm in it for the long haul. Let's build this thing. You've put it in my heart, and we're going to build this thing block upon block. Shovel of dirt upon shovel of dirt, that's where we usually jump out, is when God's actually asking us to start moving some dirt, some difficult stuff, some things we don't like. A lasting foundation. If you have a bigger vision in your life, if you desire greater than where you're at, then you need to understand it's directly linear to the fact that God wants you to build and take time to build a bigger foundation. Bigger the vision, bigger the foundation. Bigger the dream, bigger the foundation. Bigger the goal, bigger the foundation. Bigger the victory that you want to have in your life, the bigger the foundation. God's not interested, ladies and gentlemen, in bringing you something that will just last for the month. Oh, God, if I could just get relief for the month. No, God's interested in building a life out of you, not just a month's worth of relief. Oh, Lord, if we could just get through this month, then I could get on the other side. No. God wants to make sure that you thrive, not just survive from one month to the next, that your life would expand and grow to where he gets the glory for it, not that you made it. Can you hear some of my prayer life in there? Let's be real for a moment. We'll get to the points. You'll get all your fill in the blanks done. You know, we pursue God sometimes that we just want relief. God's saying, no, I want to see you be successful in every area of life, including that one. So there are some firm foundations that must be built. There's some time where we've got to spend maybe extra time with the Lord in prayer, in the Word, or seeking Him, gaining knowledge or information on a certain subject matter. Some of you desire to build a business. How much research have you done, both in God's words and in the world, to learn how to build that business? Some of you have told me, I feel like God's telling me to write a book. How much research have you done in God's word on that subject matter? Or with a publisher, spending time researching those things. Some of you have said, I want to build great wealth. I want to do great things for the kingdom of God. How much time have you spent in God's word on that subject matter? You'd be amazed that when you open God's word and He's spoken to you about a certain area, maybe it's relationships, and you start reading in the books of the Bible, you're like, I didn't know there was relationships in every book of the Bible. I had no idea. Or I want to build wealth, or I want to build a family, or I want to build a business. There is all kinds of great stuff in God's word about the things that we deal with today. A firm, lasting foundation. So here we are on the subject of the Trinity and the difficulty that many of us have in our humanity of really understanding the subject matter of the Trinity. And how powerful it really is to our lives to understand all of who God is, not just a portion of who God is. And that's really what we're talking about today. Way, way back in the early church, and it was around 325 AD, that the bishops of the Christian church of that time, I'm giving you a quick history lesson, so nobody fall asleep. It's not going to last that long, okay? Nobody in here loves history as much as me, so there's only a couple lines in the notes about history, okay? 325 AD, Emperor Constantine went to the bishops and the leaders of the church, of the Christian church of the known world, and said, you must clarify all of this stuff as that we're hearing and we are reading to be truth about God the Father, God the Son. That was Jesus Christ who was in the earth, who died and then was rose again. So we're just a few years after that actually took place, and people were unsure of the deity of Jesus Christ. There's hope for you and me. Then they were unsure about all that Jesus had discussed in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 about who the Holy Spirit was and what He was sent for. So they gathered the greatest minds in the earth at the time, and they said, you must clarify the Council of Nicaea. And they said, you must tell us what it is that the doctrine of the church is. And they came out with great clarity, supported by Scripture, all 66 books of the Bible. You know, in all parts of the Bible, there's the discussion about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in every area of the Bible, whether by prophetic word or direct implication in context, does it discuss all of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And people will push off the words of the Bible of, no, that's not for today. Have you heard that before? That's not for today. Well, God said very clearly in His word that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when He says it, He means it, and we should dig further into it to understand the full truth of who God is. So if we want to know what we talked about last week, that God is personal, I must understand all of who God is, and if I want to know Him personally, I must understand that He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God demonstrated or expressed in three persons. I'll say it again, because it's going to take us a little bit of time, okay? You guys all had coffee today? Because about half of you need a little bit, or maybe some juice. Man, don't give kids juice in the morning. Wow. Especially orange juice from McDonald's. Did you know that McDonald's is not healthy? Abby just told me that. I didn't know. We've been feeding them McDonald's every day. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons expressed in His word. Here's what God showed me. Now, I think that this is not a complete analogy, but I think it helps me, and God gave this to me by His Spirit. I think that it'll help you. So we have one God expressed in three persons and discussed with great detail in the Bible, all three, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here's what it is. Brant Eberhard is one human being. Now, I'm not saying this analogy is complete, but I'm saying it will help wrap your mind around it. Brant Eberhard is one human being, and a fine one at that. Amen. It's important for me to, anyway. Bran Appleheart's one human being, but Bran Appleheart has three different persons that people know. People know Bran Appleheart as a man, they know him as a husband, and they know him as a dad. Now, the people that interact with Bran Appleheart know him as a man, know him differently than the person that knows him as husband. I'm teaching really good right now. I hope you're hearing me. And then the people that know me as dad, it's a different perspective and understanding of who that human being is because of the relationship of father to son, of the relationship that they would have this way, of the relationship that I would have to somebody as a man. So what God has done is made, what God has made sure is that we get all of the perspectives and the understandings, the fullness of who he really is in his word by teaching us and not keeping away from us that he is Father, Son, and he is Holy Spirit. And in that, we see the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it's not a one-time event, it's a lifetime revelation that we have for our lives. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so then we would say, well, what does the Trinity really matter to me? I'm glad you asked. You ready? Number one today, three reasons why the Trinity matters to you. Number one, second foundational truth. You ready? Second foundational, last week, God is personal. This week, number one, I've already really given it to you. That God, the true God of the Bible, is the only God revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Write that one down. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Now back to your question. The Trinity matters to me because why? Because the power of God the Father is always available. The power of God the Father is always available. So here we see in Scripture, I want to give you a couple of them because there are many. There before number one, it says Matthew 28:19. It's Jesus saying, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? The Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There you see the triune God in three persons, one God revealed in three persons, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So, in number one, the power of God, the Father, is always available. God the Father is probably the most frequently talked about person in the Trinity. The Old Testament talks about him and the New Testament talks about him. In fact, many of us would say that our image of God is a picture of God the Father or God as a father. Important characteristics of God the Father is that he is omnipresent. You'll just have to write these in the margin. Omnipresent, he is omniscient, and he is omnipotent, which means he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient, he is all-knowing, and he is he is all-powerful in all of our lives. So here it is in Psalms 103:19. It says, the Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. God is all powerful. Now, this is a really, really important place that our faith, not just our understanding, but our faith must be centered on, is that God is all powerful and that his power is always available in my life. We can run quickly into many rabbit trails of our life if we have any question that God is not all-powerful. He is, in fact, all-powerful, the maker of heaven and earth, the stars, the galaxies, the maker of this planet that we live on, the trees and the star, everything. God made that, and he made you, and he is all-powerful for every situation. He's all-knowing, he's always present, and he is always powerful. Now, this is really, really important because the fact that we live most of our Christian lives, it seems, as if God is not all-powerful. We've talked about this in the weeks past, sprinkled in some of the other messages, but here it is again. God is all-powerful, meaning his power is greater than the issues that I'm facing. The Bible says the greater one that lives in me is greater than anything else that's around me. So that when I tap into that power, when I tap into God, I need you in my life right now. I cast my cares over on you. I receive that you are all powerful. And right now, Lord, I receive your strength in my life that I need for the day. I believe, Lord, that you are all powerful and you are on the scene. Most of our week is spent not in faith, it's spent in fear. And that's when you're calm. You gotta be kidding me. I love being around both men and women that have this revelation deep within their heart. And many of you have them in your lives where you would call them and you're frantic about something in life and you just unload, you know what I mean? You just unload over the phone or in person on them and you see this calmness and this peacefulness that's within their countenance, you know, about what's going on in your life. And in that peace and in that countenance, what they are about to reveal to you is that God is all powerful. He's got this. This didn't take him by surprise. He is going to take care of you. He didn't forsake you. He didn't leave you. His power is on this scene. He's going to support you through the people around you. He's going to give you the words and the strength that you need to walk through the storms and the issues of life. If you haven't spent much time in the Bible, that's okay. I encourage you to do that. But when you go into God's Word, you find out that God's people, the ones that are actually written about in the Bible, go through difficult times, go through storms, have ailments, have sicknesses, have issues in life. But God shows up. He heals. He restores. He puts back together. His power is revealed in their lives. Why? Because they're centered in faith. I mean, centered in fear and fret. No, they are centered in faith that God's got this. It is amazing to me. You ready for this? We'll keep moving. It's amazing to me that I can, now I'm going to be human for a moment, okay? It's amazing to me that I can come in here and let Kyle and Carrie and the team lead worship, and inside of 30 minutes, I get more filled up, refreshed, energized, excited in 30 minutes than it takes me all week. I'm about to get in your business. Okay, ready? So we go through work and we go through life and we start doing this. And we're like, you know, I got to go do this. I'm going to go run. I'm going to go exercise. If I exercise, it's really going to help me. I'm going to go exercise and I'm going to rip somebody's head off and I'm going to go do this. And then some of us are like, I got to eat something. I know I just ate, but I'm going to eat something again. I need to eat something again. Ice cream. I got to have ice cream. And we just freak out about all of this stuff and we go for this and we go for that and fill me up and I need this and it's all about us and inside of 30 minutes we come to church, we lift our hands and we praise God, we lift the name of Jesus and it all just melts away. And when we give God his rightful place, that's what I'm saying. When we give him his rightful place in our life and we declare that he is all powerful, he is all knowing, he's beautiful, wonderful, glorious. And we start singing the name of God, all of a sudden, all of the things that we're concerned about, we're like, it's no big deal. God's got this. It's like this supernatural wave of cleanliness just comes to our spirit, man, and comes to our mind and comes to our heart of God's got this. So what am I saying to you? Come to church every week? Yes. But what I'm also saying to you, I snuck that one in there. What I'm also saying to you is, and I've preached this before, but our praise life should be just as often as our prayer life. Where we come to God with the list of things that we need and the things that we want to talk to God about, we should spend as much time in praise, in worship, in edifying the name of God out of our lips, declaring He's wonderful, He's mighty, He's majestic, He's holy, He's glorious, He's greater than anything I would face. He's omnipresent, He's omniscient. Guys, He's powerful. And you can come to church and get that, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's what we talked about last week, God's personal. You can do it right in your home. You can do it right in your car. You can do it sitting in your desk. You can do it right in the middle of the meeting. I've done it before. God, I need You right now. He's all powerful. There's nothing in this life that would catch God by surprise or be so great that He couldn't touch it. Psalms 23 and verse 4 in the New Living says this. He says, when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff, they protect and they comfort me. It says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. The power of God, this is the next fill in the blank, the power of God, the Father, is always available, so I don't need to be afraid. So I don't need to be afraid. These are foundational Christian doctrinal things that we must understand and put in practice in our life, that I do not have to be afraid. He is all powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, it says this, so be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid and do not panic before Him. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you, and He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Wow. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you, and He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Do not panic. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Man, I just feel like we need to just keep saying this and rehearsing it. Do not be afraid. Whatever it is that you're facing today, church, do not be afraid. God is on the scene. He has got this. He's got your back. And He is the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. So I have to tell this story to make this point even more salient. So there's four children that live in my home. They're all boys. And they like to wrestle and they like to fight. They call it playing. I call it fighting. And so I hear the rumblings of happiness downstairs in the basement where we send them quite often to the playroom of go and do what it is that you're doing down there. And so, as you hear what's going on down there, all four of them, so there's one that's, you know, there's one bigger and then in between, and then there's the littlest guy who you wouldn't know when talking to him, and he's not aware that he's smaller than the rest of them. And so, when they engage in their playfulness and it becomes fighting, they turn into the superheroes and they talk about how they're bigger and they're better and they're badder than the other one. They jump on each other and they do all of this. So the little one, he wouldn't know that he's smaller. And so he gets suited up, armed up, swords and whatever he needs. And so he fully attacks the other three. And for the most part, he's pretty effective. For the most part, he's very effective to where he can get them back into a corner and whatever else. On this one particular occasion where the volume level had hit nearly an all-time high, I went down to see what it is that was going on in the playroom. It's the octagon. And so as you go down there and you go into the room and I see them, they now have Owen, the youngest one, three, pinned in the corner. And they're telling him that I'm bigger than you. I'm bigger than you, and they're all saying I'm bigger than you, and he's in the corner. He catches me out of the corner of his eye, And when it subsides of, I'm bigger, I'm bigger, I'm bigger, his little sweet voice spoke up and said, yeah, but he's bigger. He instantly went from ninja warrior into small, sweet, young child and said, yeah, but he's bigger, pointing at me. That's his secret weapon. The cuteness is the secret weapon. Here's the picture. Here's the image. If we spend a lot of time telling the enemy and the circumstances of our life about how big our God is, and we go after him, but then there comes a time where we get backed into the corner by the affairs of our life. We get backed in by this and by that, and we literally feel like the world has us surrounded, like there's nowhere for me to go. And there are times in your life, ladies and gentlemen, where you have to get your eyes fixed on the Almighty God and say, you know what, enemy, you know what circumstance, you know what devil, but he's bigger. Daddy God is here, and he is bigger, and he is all-powerful, and he will take care of me. And there will be times in your life where you get backed into a corner where you feel like you're all by yourself. But can I tell you that God is always present? He's always there. He's by your side, and you got to tap into through prayer and through worship and through his word, being reminded in your mind that my God is bigger than this circumstance. And when your eyes get turned and you say, yeah, but he's bigger. Yeah, but he's bigger. Daddy God, Abba Father, is bigger. Number two today on why does the Trinity matter to me? Number two, here it is. The forgiveness of God the Son is always available. The forgiveness of God the Son is always available. During Jesus' time on earth, the Bible says that Jesus was fully God and fully human. That means that he was 100% God, and at the same time, he was 100% human. This means that even though that he was God, he was also in a human body, and he had a human mind and human emotions, and he was just like you and I in every way. The Bible indicates that he would look like you and I as we look today. So we ask, well, why is that important to me and you? Because God sent himself, wrapped himself in flesh, gave himself the name Jesus, and said, I've come to redeem you back. The forgiveness that God has brought to our lives is always available. The Bible further describes this as grace, God's sovereignty in the area of grace to ensure that no matter what mankind would do, God could redeem them back. This is a really good story in the Bible. You find it throughout. It's pretty awesome. That God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ is much bigger than anything that we could ever do. That's important to know because we esteem some of our mistakes and the ill will of our life to being greater than who God is. But this revelation that God's forgiveness and his grace is superior to anything that I could do in my finite human being, God is infinite in his goodness and his grace, that anything that I could do, God can take care of it. God can wash it as white as snow, the Bible says. Now, some people would say, well, that's a ticket to do whatever I want. Just go sin, 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 sin. Sin squared, sin cubed, sin, sin, sin. Add this sin to that sin. Multiply the sin. Just be as bad as I want to be. And then you come into the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord and the revelation of God's goodness and his forgiveness and his grace for your life will literally take that rebellious spirit that many of us walk through in our earlier days and will melt it off of your life. Where the goodness of God humbles you to your knees, that his forgiveness is so vast and so great, and his grace is an ocean that is unending, that there's nothing we could do that could quench the grace of God for our lives. That forgiveness that Jesus has brought is available to all of us. And it's only through God sending himself, wrapping it up in flesh, living a sinless life, going to the cross and dying for all of us to redeem us back. And we don't have time today to take you all the way through it, but God set up the fact that Adam and Eve had free will. They had the will to choose what they wanted to do. And when he set that up, can I tell you, before he ever sent this world into motion, he had a plan to redeem it back. The plan to redeem it back was Jesus Christ. He said, I know that when I give them the chance to choose, no matter how much I love them, they're going to choose against me. That's okay. They're going to choose against me, and I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to send one who's got greater redemption and grace than this world could ever know. I'm going to send Jesus to this earth. He's going to live a sinless life, go to that cross and die the perfect sacrificial death for mankind. And what's required of you and I? What's required of you and I that we believe that his forgiveness is always available? That we believe that Jesus truly did come to this earth to die for me because I was separated in my sinful nature and in my sinful acts, and I gave it all to God. And now the truth of my life, the faith of my life, is pointed at Jesus Christ. Remember, we just read that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Our foundation of our life is built on the apostles and prophets. The chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. The place that I fix my faith and my eyes on is Jesus Christ. If I want a greater understanding of who God is, I've got to go look at Jesus Christ. Some of you know the great author, C.S. Lewis. He's wrote many great books, and one in particular that I enjoy and that my kids enjoy is the book that he wrote, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which then they made a movie about on the Chronicles of Narnia. And in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the Chronicles of Narnia, that particular book, you see in that story, you see Aslan. You guys remember that movie? Some of you probably watched it this week. Aslan, which is the representation of Jesus Christ. And C.S. Lewis, who wasn't a Christian, became a Christian and wrote some amazing books, Mere Christianity and several others that are just tremendous reads to help edify and build your faith. And so he put into that story the picture of the gospel and the picture of forgiveness that I'm talking about right now. And hopefully it'll help put it deep within your heart, where Aslan was confronted with the four siblings, who were the two kings and queen. This is not in the Bible. This is in the C.S. Lewis's book. Okay, so everybody calm down. So we had several characters, right? We had Peter, Edmund, Susan and Lucy. How did I do? That's the four, right? And so what we had was Edmund, who liked to kind of do some of his own thing sometimes, and he was wooed away by the Turkish delights. I remember the food part of the story, okay? He was wooed away by the Turkish delights. He betrayed his family. This was the impardonable sin that took place in this storyline. And so the wicked witch, I think it was the white witch, you remember that? I'm teaching right now. The white witch, and so she wooed him away, the image of the enemy, the image of Satan, the image of the devil, right? She wooed him away from Edmund's calling. And so she went before the king, Aslan, and said, well, he's done this sin, and I have the right to kill him in front of all of you. And Aslan said, no, no, no. You can have me in place of him. And it was this deal that was cut between Aslan and the enemy, or the white witch, where he said, no, 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 I'll give my life and everything that I am for that boy Edmund and his childish mistake. This is the king. This is the greatest thing that this world has ever known. And the greatest thing this world has ever known is willing to step up for a boy who made a childish mistake. C.S. Lewis went on after the book was revealed and said, yes, absolutely. This is the image, the type shadow of who Jesus is, that he came for childish mistakes. He came for these grand mistakes, but his forgiveness is for everyone. In the picture, he went and died. I mean, in the image, in the story, he went and died on behalf of Edmund. And what the wicked witch didn't know, or the white witch didn't know, is that he was more powerful than death. Jesus came to this earth and died for you and I. and overcame death, hell, and the grave for you and I, so that we could live a life in God's righteousness. Guys, this is a critical truth to ensuring that your life is not wrapped up in shame and in guilt. Because I talk to you guys, and I see it sometimes in your eyes, of you're wrapped in shame and in guilt about things that have happened, or things that have happened to you, or things that people did to you that you had no control over, or you spent a whole season of life where you're just away from God, and you're shameful and you're guilty. Can I tell you, those emotions are not from God. Forgiveness is from God. His love and His care for you is from God. So the power of God is always available. The forgiveness of God the Son is always available. Why is it always available? What does it matter to me? So that you don't have to feel worthless. This is a truth that I want you to hear when you're at the pit. That's a fill in the blank. At the pit of where you're at in your life, potentially in the darkest hour of where, when you know that God the Son, His forgiveness is always available, that you do not have to feel worthless. You do not have to feel like you have no value. Isaiah 1 and 18, this is the one I alluded to. It says this, God speaking. He says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. And though they were red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says this, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new life has begun. That Scripture to me was an anchor in my life through some very, very difficult days where the enemy continued to try to pull me back into some of the things that I had done in the past, continued to try to pull me back into things of the past, and I would go continually back to this, say, no. I'm a part of the household of faith, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, the past is behind them and the new life is here. And these are the things, ladies and gentlemen, that we must do in our faith so that we operate in faith and not in fear, where we remind ourselves that forgiveness is always available. Praise God. And number three today, Father, Son, and now Holy Spirit, why does the Trinity matter to me? Number three, the comfort of God the Holy Spirit is always available. The comfort of God the Holy Spirit is always available. Now listen to me, and we're almost done. This is the area of our faith. This is the area of our Christianity that is largely absent from the body of Christ today, the function, the operation, and the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We aspire and esteem who God is, and He is majestic and He is all-powerful. We try to get some understanding. Many of you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're going deeper into what that means. But Jesus, as I mentioned earlier in John 14, 15, and 16, and in other places, talks specifically about the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. Most of us in our study, in our reading, our prayer, and our worship have left out the person of the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because in conversations that you would have with people and conversations that you would have for me reveals the fact that you have never met the Comforter. And I challenge you today in this summer season to attack God's word like you've never done before, taking extra time. Lord, reveal that perspective of who God is to me so that I can have some comfort, so that I, the Bible says, can be empowered from the inside out with who this Holy Spirit is. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, was very clear in the Gospels when He said, I must go, but I am sending a Comforter. Then He went on to say, I'm sending an Advocate. It's there in your, we don't have time, but it's there in your notes. I'm sending a comforter, and then I'm sending an advocate. I'm sending somebody that you can lean on, and then I'm sending somebody who's going to fight your battles for you, who will remind you of the truth that I've placed within you, that will put that power and that energy and that refreshment that you need into your life at the moment that you need it. God, the Holy Spirit, His comfort is always available. Why does that matter to me? So that I know that I will never be alone. That's the last fill in the blank. That I will never have to be alone. The comforter, the advocate for your life. The advocate carries with it a litigious or legal implication. The advocate, the attorney, the one that speaks for you and on your behalf. Man, I know I just like dropped a bomb of information in here, so you guys are. But this is good right here for a moment, okay, and then we're done. It's a legal, litigious type of word. Of when the enemy would come in, when the person accusing you, the Bible calls the enemy the accuser of the brethren. That's the King James coming out in me, okay? The accuser of the brethren. The Bible calls God the Holy Spirit the advocate, the paraclete. Study the Greek. The one who speaks on your behalf. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Speed it up. Here we go. You ready? There are times in your life where you will walk into a situation where all hell has broke loose in your life. And bubbling up from your spirit, words will come to your mouth that you didn't even know that were there. You know, the times when you want to rip their head off and you extend to them words of grace and peace and love. And you're like, whoo, where did that come from? Man, that was pretty good. I wish Pastor was here to see it. Man, where's my wife? That was amazing. And you get pressed and you get pressed and you get pressed and you get pressed, and all of a sudden God, the Holy Spirit, shows up in your life and the advocate is on the scene. And words come to your heart and words come to your mind. You know, words that are filled with joy and encouragement and peace, that God all-powerful is here. His forgiveness is available to me. And then boom, out comes your mouth and into your mind of all of the things that God is and His truth for your life, and the Holy Spirit shows up. God, the Holy Spirit. I've had times in my life where I walk out of a conversation or a meeting and go, man, God, if you hadn't shown up, that was going to be horrible. Wow. The purpose of me spending all of this time, and now I'm out of time, is I want to see God's people. I want to see Legacy Chapel's people thrive and not just survive through life. I want you to have the full understanding, and I'm still continuing to go deeper in the understanding of who God is in these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, they are for your life. They are for you now so that you're successful in this life, so that you can push and expand the kingdom of light and the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. The assignment of our life is to take the gospel wherever we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't take the gospel without the Holy Spirit evident in our lives. We would kill too many people along the way. So today, in these next few moments, we're going to worship together, and then we're going to be done. I want you to have an intense altar time for the next few moments, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, where you really engage God in worship, and you say, Lord, I want you to show me God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I want a full perspective. I want a full revelation of who God is. And listen, if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, you've never received that forgiveness, you can do that today. If you've never tapped into who the Holy Spirit is, you've never invited the Holy Spirit, meaning that take on who God is, that third person, into your life. Can I tell you that He is awesome?